Now the pre-martini lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. In for Greg Corumbus, I'm Brett Witterbull, joined by Jim Garrity from National Review Online. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Brett, I'm doing good. I have a feeling it's going to be a very off-kilter week.
I've got a feeling we'll be carrying it over from the holiday, that's for certain. Well, to jump right into it, why don't we start with the good martini, Jim Garrity? Why don't we start with quite a revelation coming from Rand Paul vis-a-vis...
I'm a physician, and when you come in to see me, I put down a little diagnostic code, and there was 18,000 of these. But under Obamacare, they're going to keep you healthier because now there's going to be 140,000 codes. Included among these codes will be 312 new codes for injuries from animals. 72 new codes for injuries just from birds. 9 new codes for injuries from the macaw. The macaw? I've asked physicians all over the country, have you ever seen an injury from a macaw? There's 2 new injury codes under Obamacare for injuries sustained from a turtle. And you might say, well, turtles can be dangerous, but why do you have to have 2 codes? Well, your doctor needs to inform the government whether you've been struck by a turtle or bitten by a turtle.
So, 18,000 diagnostic codes, they're going up to 140,000 codes. The injuries from animals account for 312 of the new codes, with 72 of them coming from just from birds. Now, my favorite line in here is from when Rand Paul points out that 9 new codes are for injuries from the macaw. Raising it clear, I had no idea of the macaw menace. But anyway, why is this a good martini besides the fact the federal government is turning its attention to the macaw menace? I argue this is good news because everyone already has this perception that Obamacare is a ridiculous and ludicrous amount of red tape, right, and unbelievably complicated and totally unworkable. And having 9 codes for macaw injuries, we couldn't make that up if we tried. That is beyond ridiculous, and kind of just, it helps suggest just how completely dysfunctional this piece of legislation is.
Well, certainly something to take that'll make us happy is the fact that Rand Paul's coming around on this and that we're able to talk about this and all that good stuff. What about the bad one? This is a very bad martini, I see. It looks like a very greedy, bad, unhelpful martini. The Red Cross and Sandy Aid?
Yeah, the Associated Press spotlighted on Drudge this morning. It's been 7 months since Sandy hit Jersey Shore in New York City and that area. $303 million was raised through the Red Cross to assist victims of the storm, and one-third of that has yet to be spent. Now, the Red Cross says, look, this is kind of problematic, that when something terrible happens, like with Sandy or with the tornado in Oklahoma, people give to Red Cross because they want to get the help to the victims as quickly as possible. And when you see reports like this, that the Red Cross is sitting on about $110 million, You're wondering, I hope there's a good reason for that. And it's not just, inertia, bureaucracy, or things like that. Now, I understand they're simply giving move-in assistance grants to families displaced. There are 4,000 people waiting for eligibility determination. Back after 9/11, there was, at some point the Red Cross announced that they're going to fund public service announcements against Muslim discrimination and demonization of Muslims and Islamophobia and stuff like that. And a lot of folks rightfully were pretty darn furious about that point. Wait, we gave this money to help victims of a terror attack. Stop taking the money and diverting it for something else. The good news is it doesn't look like the Red Cross is diverting it, but it does seem that they are kind of the way they're spacing it out seems kind of strange to a lot of people and probably kind of shakes people's faith in the effectiveness of the Red Cross to address a really horrific disaster like this. So kind of hope instead of sitting around and waiting for it to work through the pipeline of the Red Cross.
Well, come on, Red Cross, kick the cash free. That's all I can say. Well, here comes a very weird martini involving Congressman Keith Ellison, Apple's tax rates, and a whole lot of concern that he's got about the amount of taxes that they're paying.
It seems to me only fair that Apple would step up and help fund the country that has made it possible for them to be successful in the first place. Apple wouldn't be a multi-billion dollar corporation but for the fact that the United States of America made it possible for them to be that successful.
Last week there was, you know, a significant brouhaha over Apple, the makers of the iPhone and iPads and iTunes and all these wonderful gadgets that we use, keeping a portion of their profits earned overseas, running them through Ireland so they don't actually have to pay the maximum amount. And to, you know, for a lot of liberals who have come up and believing that Apple was one of the good companies, Steve Jobs was cool. He wore that black turtleneck. He wasn't all supposed to be about profit, man. It was supposed to be about really cool products. It turns out that Apple doesn't like paying any more taxes than they have to. This observation that somehow companies ought to pay more taxes than they legally owe just because Keith Allison thinks so. And, you know, hey, we're America. We do a lot for you. Well, you know, America does a lot for a lot of companies, but it also impedes companies. It creates all kinds of regulations and all kinds of onerous things. If taxes ought to go up, put them up. But the idea that just because the government is so swell, has Keith Ellison paid any attention to the government lately? You know, the IRS scandals, the snooping around in reporters' emails and stuff like that. Look, we are not obligated to give more than one dime under these ludicrously complicated IRS regulations. I'm a little tired of people whose salaries come from taxes giving us lectures about how taxes are the dues we pay to live in a civilized society. This society doesn't look all that civilized all that much. And the idea that companies should pay more just because Keith Ellison says so. Well, look, we got a legislative process there. You're free to introduce any tax hike you like. It's not going to get through the House of Representatives, so that's fine. You know, if you have a benefit to society, then the taxes they would pay by going through the ideal draconian tax rate that Ellison has in his head. So we shouldn't really be surprised by this coming from Keith Ellison, but watching liberals act so betrayed by Apple is kind of amusing. I'd love to know how much more in taxes Keith Ellison pays. How much more does he pay that he owes, since obviously this is the standard he believes everyone else should live by?
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. Certainly not shocking that he would engage in the class warfare sitting there with Mr. Ed Schultz, Mr. Class Warrior himself as well. The good martini, Obamacare codes, including turtle and macaw injuries. We have the Red Cross, the very bad martini, in which the Sandy aid, a third of it, still not being distributed, about $110 million. And, of course, the weird martini and the weird congressman himself from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Keith Ellison, angry that Apple isn't paying their fair share, angry that that Apple isn't paying to help fund this this phenomenal country through taxation. Well, Jim Garrity, so much fun to visit with you, so much fun to sit back and to break down these three martinis. Now I'm going to go grab me an aspirin and take a nap in my office. What do you say we get together and do it again tomorrow?
Looking forward to it, Brett. See you tomorrow.